you really have to stick with it. Like, the first year and a half is going to be basically like hell.
I've spent the last 10 years honing my skills as a designer and building on my experience to grow my career. Looking back on my journey, it got me thinking, what does it take to be a creative professional? How do you build an effective creative business or grow a successful career? I'm on an infinite quest to learn and apply something new every day. So join me as we dive into the stories and strategies of the most talented creators working today. My name is Anthony Spano, and this is Stay Creating. So I'm sitting here with Danny Bonet. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Danny was actually nice enough to meet me in New York. You are in town visiting.
Yeah, just caught the red eye here last
night.
Very
cool. And so where are you from? You're from LA, right?
Yeah, I'm from Echo Park, Los Angeles, which is right above downtown.
Very cool. Awesome. So give me a picture of your background. Have you always had like the creative bug? How far back does this go?
Yeah, ever since I was a little girl, I'd always be drawing like monsters and always like sort of had like a fond like feeling towards making art and creating things and always picking up like kind of more technical art like practices to get, I guess, mastered in, you know.
Okay, cool. Actually, let me rewind a little bit. So Danny is a neon artist. I found her on Instagram and reached out, and she was kind enough to reply back, and we kind of made this happen. Neon signs have been around for a little over 100 years. I did a little bit of research.
Nice.
How did you get into neon or bending?
So I come from Las Vegas, and I was actually born there. And my grandparents, they ran a commercial neon repair shop there. So when I was a little kid, my dad worked there and my uncle worked there. And basically, my grandparents sort of trained me to notice like the neon signs around Vegas that were broken because they made most of their money from repairing them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
so just keep your eye out.
Yeah, keep your eye. If you ever see a sign that's like a little off, you know, let us know.
Yeah.
So yeah, my grandpa actually was like had a contractor license to repair the signs, which is very difficult to get. So
right.
Yeah. And then I moved to California when I was sort of young. And my dad still was sort of fixing neon then. So it was always like sort of a part of, I guess, my life.
Yeah, you kind of grew up around it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always great to have like sort of the family.
The family craft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they never like hands-on made the neon. They always like sort of contracted it out.
Oh, interesting.
And it was always commercial.
So they had a business that they were running.
Yeah, they had a business.
Okay. And so how long you've been doing it now?
It's been about 2.5 years now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So I actually noticed in one of your comments on Instagram that you've been doing it for about that long and that you've become sort of a psycho about it.
Yeah.
So give us, what's the mind shift there to psycho? Like, how does that go?
I feel like at first you sort of become familiar with it, right? And then it turns into an obsession, like when you realize that you really like something, and then it's almost like hysteria. Like you can't stop, even if you wanted to. So I first started like really getting into it when I moved back to LA. After I finished college, I would notice just like beautiful signs like all around town.
Yeah.
And so after that, I became obsessed. I was like, how are these made? Like, what is the process? Like,
right.
How does one even like do it? And I like, it became sort of like a challenge. Like, how can I figure out how to do this?
Yeah.
And my grandparents, like, because they were involved after like I sort of started getting into it, they like mailed me all their old equipment. So I have like this.
Oh, like, nice. Like a starter kit.
Yeah, exactly. So I have this toolbox of like, sort of like, a little bit old, like neon bending equipment that they had in their shop and a bunch of like really old Transformers that actually don't work, but they're really like big and impressive.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, my grandfather was kind of a Renaissance man when it came to things like that. He, not neon, but photography. I got started with all of his old equipment as well. He had a dark room in his basement that he made. So I had all that stuff to start off with. On your website, you refer to yourself as a cosmetic chemist.
Yes.
Tell me about that. Like, how does chemistry play a role in this? Because I know it does play a big role.
It definitely does. Oh, okay. So I graduated from Cal Poly in a degree in biochemistry. And okay, on one side of my family, they're like in the neon industry.
Yeah.
And the other side, they're in the cosmetic industry. Wow. So okay. When I first graduated, my grandma got me a bunch of jobs like as a cosmetic chemist. So I started like formulating like shampoo, suntan lotion. I would be in the lab like basically like cooking it. That's kind of how it's made. Like,
interesting. Okay.
You combine all the ingredients and then heat it up, and then next thing you know, you have like a conditioner or something.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah. You have lip balms on your.
Yeah. So I had like all this crazy information on how to make cosmetic, like all these cosmetic products, and I was like, I have to put this knowledge to use somehow.
That's cool.
So I figured out like sort of like an art outlet for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any plans to bring that more into fruition? You know, a line of lip gloss or something?
You know, I think I am done with that venture. Okay. It went on for a little while, sure. But now it's pretty much transformed to full-time neon.
Nice. So give me an idea about the gases and things like that that go into...
Oh, the chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah, because I watched a bunch of videos on neon bending.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how the colors and all of that are achieved.
Okay, so there's two colors that, like... There's two colors that gases produce. So the classic one and the first one that was found was neon. Mm-hmm. So they found if you put neon in a vacuum and you excite it with like a lot of electricity, neon is kind of like an interesting element because its outer like electron octet is completely full. So
what does that mean?
So basically like every atom has like a structure of electrons going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And neon is just completely full. So there's no room for any electrons to like form bonds with any other element or atom. Like it's unreactive. It's only ever itself.
And this was found in like the late 1800s, right? Like 1892 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. In Paris, which is so cool.
Cool.
So when you like excite it with a lot of like power and electricity, it actually causes the electrons in the outer perimeter to react, and they like get excited, and then a photon is emitted, and that's what you see as the neon gas.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So how do you achieve those colors, like so bright pinks or purples or greens?
So neon itself glows this like really intense red that's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
Almost
white, right? Like it's like super, super bright white.
No, that's argon.
Argon
with mercury, and it's actually like the subtle blue. Like
I know what you mean. Okay.
Yeah. So you have those two gases. Basically, those are the two common ones. There's a couple others, but they're like a little bit funky, so you don't see them too often.
Okay.
But it's normally like I'd say like 99% of neon tubes are filled with either neon or argon and mercury. And use that in combination with these phosphorus pigments that are coated alongside the inside of the tubes.
Right.
So, for example, I have this really beautiful, like, light blue. And if I pump that, its pigment is light blue. If I pump that with argon and mercury, then it is a soft blue.
Wow.
But if I take the same tube and I fill it with neon gas, it's this gorgeous pink. Like, it's so pretty. It's my favorite color to use.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's like, that's crazy. Like, that just filling it with the different gases has that big of an impact on the color you see.
Yeah. So actually, that's really interesting insight to your creative process. Like, I'd like to hear more about that. You know, I mean, that's sort of also like a trial and error type thing, right? I mean, you will find that, you know, just right off the bat.
Yeah, and I'm still sort of figuring it out, but yeah. I feel like I've made some good strides.
Nice.
So the act of making a sign for me, it yeah. takes like so many hours, yeah. but I really enjoy it. First, I will come up with an idea that I think would be cool in neon, and then I go to Adobe Illustrator.
Okay.
And I sketch out, basically, with neon, you're limited to certain diameters. So I sketch out like a, like I try to incorporate some detail, but yeah. a very basic, like sort of line drawing.
Okay.
And then I take that drawing and at my shop in Temecula, I will print out the reverse version of that on a huge printer.
Okay.
So it prints
out. Why reverse?
Okay, so you're bending like directly on the pattern.
Right.
So you want the side that is going to be like facing you
yeah,
to be the flat surface.
Okay.
And so in order to achieve that, when you're bending directly, you flip it and you bend on the reverse. So okay. then when you actually put it together, it's all perfect.
Right. Cause you're heating the glass and then you're actually placing it on a flat surface to bend
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
yeah
to shape screen,
it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how does the is there an electrode added at some point, right?
Yeah, so you finish, first you take the piece of glass and you bend it, like yeah. heating up little sections in the fire until you have the finished unit. Mm-hmm. And then you weld on, for each piece of glass, a set of electrodes.
Okay.
And so one side is like closed off and then the other has like a little glass tube that you can attach to the vacuum unit that
right.
you use to insert the neon or argon gas.
Okay, cool.
And then after that, you like seal in, you pump out all the like impurities, like
yeah,
heat it.
Yeah, I've seen that. Like, kind of zap it, right?
Yeah, yeah, you make it really, really hot, like with a really like high voltage.
Right.
And it zaps out like yeah, the impurities. Yeah.
And like looks for like leaks and something, right?
Yeah, you yeah. do have to look for leaks because yeah. that's disastrous.
Right. So. yeah.
And then eventually, once it's all cleaned, you fill it with the gas. And that step's like almost underwhelming. It's so like
right.
simple. You know,
right,
like
right.
you but do that, like this huge zapping and then like you put in the gas and it's just, oh, that's it.
Like, yeah. So when do you feel finally finished with a piece?
Oh man, it's like many steps after this.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Then I take off, I seal off the unit, the electrode that has the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have all of these pieces of glass that are going to make up a piece. And I have to block out paint, which is basically you paint where you don't want any of the light to show. So you apply, it's almost like a tar and you paint directly on the parts that you don't like. And sometimes like it's black, sometimes it's white, depends on like what style choice you want.
Interesting.
And then basically I have to map out, all the areas I'm going to drill because I got to put like supports to mount
right.
up the tube.
Right. Right.
And then I also have to map out like the circuit because you have to make a closed circuit for everyone.
Okay.
So yes.
Very involved.
Yeah, yeah. You have to like plan out the right amount of energy like for the transformer because if it's too little, it won't light up.
Right.
If it's too much, it's not a big deal, but it regulates. But
yeah.
you don't want to waste like transformers because they're really expensive.
Right, right.
Yeah.
How much does a transformer usually run?
Ooh, the 12,000 one, 12,000 volts, which is sort of the most common.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $50 a pop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you don't want to mess that up.
Yeah, yeah. Especially some pieces like my Big Panther takes like 5 of those. So.
Yeah, which is a beautiful piece, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
And so are you also putting like a backing to these, like when you like mounting?
Yeah, I generally mount on plexiglass just because I think it looks really clean.
Yeah.
But some other times I've used other mediums to.
What about like a? I've been seeing like a mirror or something.
A
right?
mirror?
Like,
oh, the infinity mirror.
The infinity mirror.
That yeah, came. That was really cool because I feel like most infinity mirrors, like you're kind of limited to either a circle or a square.
Right.
But I teamed up with this actually acrylic mirror artist named Fatima,
awesome.
And she like can custom cut the mirror to exactly the shape. And
oh,
then,
that's sick.
Yeah, so she like custom cut the cake mirror and then gave it to me. And then I bent like the cake neon on top of it.
That's awesome.
And then we cut the two-way mirror and put that on top of that. So
wow.
It's like, It's like a infinity mirror actually in the shape of a cake, which I don't think has ever been done before. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's truly unique. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So that's interesting too. Like you're collaborating with other artists.
Oh yeah. That is so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love doing that. You just get a glimpse into like other people's creative processes.
Yeah. 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 That's awesome. I mean, that's what we're looking to do here is kind of illuminate that. What's your favorite piece of art that you've done?
That I've done?
Yeah.
I think so far it has to be the panther. Yeah. I'm just so impressed by that one.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I sometimes look at it and be like, I made that? Like, what? Like, are you kidding me?
That's awesome. So is that you pushing it really, really far?
It was kind of like the purpose is, I think I was just turning like 25.
Right.
And I was like, I've been making my like art my whole life, but I've never done anything that I'm like, like particularly like incredibly proud of. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to push it. Like I'm going to try to make something that's just like really like pushing what's possible with neon.
Yeah.
And like size, I want it to be huge. I want it to be like detailed.
How big is that panther?
It's 6 feet long.
Holy shit.
I tried to scale it exactly to like the proper anatomy of like a panther.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, 6 foot.
Yeah. Very cool. What is a favorite piece that you've seen that you haven't done that you wish you did?
There is, this neon artist that I really admire and I have actually been working with, in the She Bends group. Mm-hmm. Her name is Meryl Pataky.
Okay.
And she did this crazy, what's that like collection of like men that like, they're like craftsmen. I forget. It's like this really old fashioned, like,
yeah, I don't know.
She made this whole huge, huge symbol of like their like
crest or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Okay. And she did it in neon and it was like so impressive and like beautiful.
So I'm realizing too, thinking about those bigger pieces, like you're making separate glass pieces, right? Different colors and you're connecting them all.
Yeah.
For something like that, and I'm just, I mean, it's just because I'm naive to it, but like to plug something like that in, how does that work?
Yeah. So, for that one, for the panther specifically, it would have been like 5 plugs if I didn't. So I was like, okay, I can't do that.
Right, you know? Right.
So, I asked my dad who like had worked in like wiring up neon. I was like, how can I like make this into one? And he showed me how to do like an electrical box.
Okay.
So I just combined like all of the outputs to one cord.
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Like actually, like you can just plug it into any wall. Yeah. And stuff, you know? I feel like it's a lot of power. So.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, that makes sense to have that box there. But good to kick it to your dad for the insight there.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. So where are you currently working out of?
So I work out of sort of 3 separate units right now to get every piece done. I have the place where I have like the fires and the vacuum pump, and mm-hmm. that's at my mentor's like garage in Temecula.
Okay.
His name is Juan Ortega and he is the best mentor I could have ever asked for.
That's so awesome.
I'm very happy, you know.
Very cool. So, I mean, and you mentioned before you have a full-time job.
Yeah, I do.
So you're doing this for passion.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool though, because you're being like scrappy and you're really DIYing it, you know, with this. So, it's really, really inspiring to see, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But so how does that work? So they have the equipment and then you buy the
Yeah,
stuff.
I buy basically like all of the glass and all the electrodes, and then I buy like time at his like facility.
Okay.
And I just go there like every weekend. Like I'll drive and go work on in the fires for like, I try to get like at least 8 hours in if I'm going there, because the drive, it's like.
Right. You want to maximize the.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you make that contact with?
I was sort of searching for a neon mentor. And unfortunately, there's not too many out there, which is a bit unfortunate.
Like,
there used to be a couple schools for neon, but they all shut down.
Hmm.
I was actually considering, I was like, if there's a school, go move there and do it, you know?
Yeah.
But I found him online because he actually like is pretty well at running and creating his own website. So he had a bunch of like search terms on Google that kind of matched what I was looking for.
Right.
So I found him, and it said that he was in Temecula, and I was like, oh, that's pretty far. But yeah. I was like, it's not too far though. Like, this is a dream. So I think doable. I'm just going to do it, you know?
Sure.
So I went and I just like did an initial like visit with him just to see like what he was about. And he just like seemed like such a good teacher, like someone that like, I think like he just like really, really wanted to teach. And like just that feeling like was so great, because I feel like everyone else makes it sort of an obstacle to learn neon. And he was somebody that was like, no, like he like told me like, you'll do it. Like you'll be great. Like, and
that's awesome.
Just like that belief like really like propelled me to like go with him. And
yeah. The videos that I have seen, the people that were teaching it were very hands-on and almost like wanting to put their hands on it to do it for them, you know? Bend it. Okay. You know, like stuff like that. So I'm wondering, was he like that, or is he like, just make your own mistakes? I mean, that's really how you're going to learn, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely like encourages like me just figuring it out. But sometimes I'll get to the point where it's like, man, I don't know how to do this. Yeah. Like, can you please help me? And then he'll come and show me.
Yeah.
And he makes it look so easy. It's like,
well, you said he's got like 30 years, right?
Yeah. He's been bending commercial neon for like 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, commercial work, are you looking for that? Are you involved in that currently?
I would say sometimes I will get involved with projects like that, just because there is like definitely money to be made. And sometimes you have to like make money so you can make more art, you know?
Right. You're right. And so, but you are making money.
Yeah. I finally have reached the point where it's not like all red. Some green now.
Right.
And I think it'll be a good year for me.
Not easy to get to, but it's great that you did.
Thank you.
Yeah. So 2019, looking bright.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The year of the green.
Yeah. Resources or inspirations, where do you find inspiration?
I really just like sort of look on, I guess I browse Instagram on other people's artworks and just like what other people are doing in every field. I sort of really like stick and poke tattoos. Like,
okay.
I don't know why. Like, I really admire those illustrators, and like, I feel like they're often like very clever, and I really like sort of like those concepts, like just doing something like clever like that.
Yeah.
So tattoos are really cool, 'cause that also is like, I don't know, it's like similar line work sort of, but like, they can do a little bit more lines than I really can.
Yeah, you're limited a bit. Yeah,
I am a little limited, yeah.
And tell me about Illustrator, Adobe Illustrator. What's your background in that?
I sort of have always been messing around with Photoshop and Illustrator. I kind of made it my mission when I was like, I think like 12. I was like, I'm going to learn how to do this. I like love drawing on there. And I've always like drawn on there like with my projects, even when I was like young.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm sort of a bit of a perfectionist. So if I like make a line that I don't quite like on paper, like you can erase it, but like eventually you can't. And on Photoshop and Illustrator, all you have to do is click undo.
Yeah, exactly. So Command Z.
I can do a line 100 times until I'm satisfied with
it.
And then.
So actually, when it comes to bending glass, are you the same way if you don't get the bend exactly right?
See, that's like where I should be, but no, I'm not there yet. I feel like because my pieces are sort of one-offs, and I mean, like, they're all my own. Like, if I'm a little bit off the pattern, I am just happy to like have something that I could pump. Like,
okay,
so I normally let it slide.
Yeah, and it like gives a character, right? It's not
it
exactly
character,
right. Yeah.
Okay. If it was commercial neon, though, that would not be the case at all. Like, you'd have to scrap, like, you'd have to scrap so much just if you were, like, slightly off.
Right. Yeah, it has to be exactly right.
Yeah.
So, have you ever done, like, a logo or anybody's...
No, okay. I'm not there yet. But if I do get the project, I outsource it to my mentor. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So, you have, like, your network, does it go far beyond that?
Unfortunately not. It's just sort of me and him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Cool. But you seem to be open about it, right? Like, if you, you know, came across somebody else, like collaboration.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. So, Give me some tips on, you know, possibly an up and coming neon artist or aspiring neon artist. What would you say?
Actually, like, it's pretty cool. A lot of people reach out and kind of ask, like, oh, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. And I just got to say, like, you really have to stick with it. Like, the first year and a half is going to be basically, like, hell. Like,
yeah.
You're going to be burning yourself a bunch. Like, everything you make, like, a lot of it is not even going to be usable. Yeah. You're going to be throwing away, like, a lot of glass, a lot of money, you know?
Yeah.
But then if you just keep up with it and continue to be persistent, you'll finally reach that, like, apex.
Right.
And then from there, like, you'll be making pumpable units. Like, you'll be able to do certain bends you never thought you could. Like, yeah. And from there, it's like, you just keep going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to stick with it. And the mistakes are what will make you better.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, you learn from each one. Yeah. As long as you're learning.
As long as you're learning.
So what's next for you?
What's next for me? I hope to have at least like one more exhibit this year that I can make some new pieces for. I really like those. I find that they like are the biggest challenge to create like new things is when you have like an exhibit and a purpose for it.
Yeah.
Because like just making art on your own, like sometimes like you're like, oh, why should I waste these resources? But if you have like an exhibit set, like,
yes,
it kind of encourages you to, and it's also madness before it, you know, like.
So this is a conversation I like to have with a lot of creatives because, especially the ones that are sort of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Maybe some that are used to being inside of a box, working for a company or whatever it may be. When you're left to your own devices, the final product could be anything, you know?
Yeah.
And so you have no sort of guiding, things to keep you in line. Right. You know, when it's for a specific thing, you have these boxes to stay within. So it's kind of almost easier to deliver on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I have this date that I have to have these pieces done by.
Right.
Like it's really motivating, I find.
So your pieces actually are super interesting and super unique. It's neon like I've never seen.
Yeah.
And is that your goal? Is that what you're aiming for?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of neon signs these days are like words, phrases that are catchy, but kind of like so simple that there's not too much depth to it, you know? But I've really like admire like the traditional like neon imagery. Like I feel like those were never present in like commercial signs, like some of them, like for very specific brands. But
okay, like give me an example.
Like of an old like neon with a symbol.
Yeah.
I can't think of one on the top of my head. I'm sorry.
No worries.
But I feel like traditionally neon has been like text and like simple words and phrases. And I feel like there's so much potential in making like imagery and making really beautiful, like illuminated, like animals and shapes and symbols.
Yeah. Like you have some really cool ones, like the, you have like a lightning bolt, you have a sword where you're like, you're holding these things. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
But those pieces, are you putting those on a
plexiglass?
Yeah. Are you putting them on plexiglass?
No, not those ones. Those were basically just practice pieces where I was like trying to figure out like, could I do this?
So where do they end up?
They're just in my room.
Okay.
I don't know. Like they're not like technically very safe. So I don't really feel like I should like sell it to somebody, you know, like because the electrode and everything is just like, it has a cap on it, but like, I know like where it's dangerous and nobody else does. So like,
right. You don't want to sign off on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely hear that. All right, cool. So, give us, you mentioned before She Bends. What's the deal with this?
Okay. So I am really proud of this group that I am included in. My first exhibit was this past one in Milwaukee, but it's basically a group of females that are involved in making like neon, which has, I guess, traditionally been a very like male like dominant industry. So the curator, Meryl Pataki, who like I mentioned, I'm really like just a fan of and admire a lot. She sort of had this idea to curate like an exhibit of that just features like females that make neon.
Okay.
So the first one was in LA, and I actually went to it when I was like sort of first starting to like bend neon.
Okay.
So it was really inspiring just to see like what other people have done.
Right.
And now it just feels so good to even be like a part of it. Like,
yeah, yeah. You're part of a community.
Yeah, exactly. And, I feel like there's like a lot of support there. So I'm really like honored.
So how can we check this out? Shebends.com.
Shebends.com. And then on Instagram, it's at shebendsneon. And they post, works featured by members of our community. And if you're also a neon artist involved in being female, I could have phrased that so much better.
involved in being female, sure.
So bad. If you are a female neon artist, feel free to reach out. We definitely would like to expand our community.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. And you mentioned a traveling neon exhibit as well, or is that
that's
this one? Okay, cool.
Yeah. When it started on LA, moved to San Francisco. Now our current exhibit is in Milwaukee.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then what's next for that?
We definitely are going back to San Francisco.
Okay, nice.
Hopefully some more cities in the future.
Yeah, New York maybe.
Yeah, New York would be great.
Cool. Well, I'll be there if you're ever here. And your website, how can people buy your neon?
Okay, if you were interested in one of my pieces, you can go to my website, dannybart.com, or Danny Bart if you read it fast. And you can either shoot me an email. Unfortunately, I still don't have like purchasing up besides like enamel pins if you want those. I've got those.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
But yeah, if you shoot me an email, we could probably work something out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool. Well, it was really great having you. Thank you so much for doing this. Yeah, it was really awesome. And you can follow Danny on Instagram at Danny_Bonet. And that's how I found her.
Yeah, thanks for finding me.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, it was awesome speaking with you. And I think that's it.
Okay, great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Danny's work was recently featured at Elsewhere in Brooklyn as part of their Landscape Arts series, showcasing a diverse range of emerging artists. You can catch Danny on Instagram at Danny_Bonet or on her website at DannyBArt.com. Also check out the Women in Neon at SheBends.com. You can also catch us on Instagram at Stay Creating, and don't forget to subscribe. iTunes, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, any way you get your podcasts, subscribe, and go to iTunes and leave a review. Help spread the word.